Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You've been here like longer than us. You definitely know this better than anyone, how hard it is to try and convey what you're experiencing, doing, being about this life to people that are not into it.
Did you just promote the tour that we're on?
That's what I was thinking about.
Tonight at the Observatory Santana, show up people.
There you go.
Isn't that weird about the sound of your own voice is that it's only you. It's only in your head.
Yeah.
It's like no one hears what you hear. Yeah, right? Exactly. It's just funny.
Right, I need to get, I'm trying to copy what you're doing over there.
I'll do it. I don't even know what I'm doing, so it's fine.
You know what it
is. It's weird because we're so like, would you call that insecurity with your own voice?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big song.
Oh, yeah. It is. I think I sound fat. Like when I first heard my voice from the outside, it's like, just a fat dude. It's a fat dude's voice I'm hearing right now.
I think so. Yeah.
But little do they know, you're ripped.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And you're a sick drummer.
Oh, stop it. Yeah. I'm a blush. I'm very blush already.
Well,
alrighty.
We got 10:56. Thank you for making time to be here.
Thank you for having us, man.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we had some crazy weekends. You guys played Aftershock?
Yeah. 2 days ago.
It was mental. We was not expecting. We did, what was the other one? Louder than Life. Yeah, we did Louder Than Life. And that was, although it was sick, it was slightly underwhelming. And we were kind of like, oh, I hope it's not going to be the same. And it was overwhelming. It was so good.
Great.
The vibe was sick. The crowd reaction was great. Yeah, the organization was on point.
Yeah, DWP is the name of the game when it comes to festival anyways, like in terms of organization and the way they work around the hospitality for the artists to just feel like valued for a whole day, which feels good, especially in the middle of the tour where we all know there are some shows where it's not as welcoming and comfortable being around. Aftershock was a nice little breather for sure.
Yeah, I saw videos. It looked great.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, it was dope,
man. It must be a trip for you guys, especially you, Aaron, technically like starting over and now coming back in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was a trip. I mean, and plus like the time that I was away for was pretty much the pandemic. So it was like such a trip I was like, oh, it's over for me. You know what I mean? And then pandemic happened, terrible for lots of people, obviously, for obviously obvious reasons. And yeah, and then we just managed to get it all together and then pretty much came out of the other side and hit the ground running. So, yeah, it feels great to have a second chance. And I think we're all in the same boat. Like, this isn't anyone's first rodeo apart from...
Yeah, it's my first fat time in the USA. Second tour, third tour, something like that.
Ever.
I'm way less experienced than all the other guys. Feels great.
Yeah, and
I feel lucky.
Yeah, you're like... Remember being 13 and seeing, you know, his band for one of his first shows, and
that's
now
what happened.
My first
crazy,
show,
crazy,
huh? First show with BTM, yeah. I was there. I was 13. That's it. And now we are in a band together, touring in the US. That's crazy.
How old are you?
26.
Wow, 13 years ago. Because you were like, Luca, you were like a mega fan of music. You're going to like all the shows, huh?
Not that much, actually, because like I don't live in Paris, and there wasn't that much shows happening in my town. But yeah, every time that something was coming to my town, I was there. And Betraying the Mars was like a big part of my music. I don't know how to say it, but yeah, I was a big fan when I was a kid.
Well, he's the music encyclopedia of the group, of the band. Like, he listens to every new releases, all genres, all the time. He's the most like attuned to what's happening in the music in general. So yeah, he's the guy when it comes to...
I'm curious.
If you want to know if something's cool or not, you're like, ask him. You know, it's like, you know, when you're getting older and you're like...
Oh, it's up the gauge.
Is this cool? And he's like, nah.
No.
Okay,
so I'm going to send our new record to you first.
Oh.
And then tell us. Like, this is not good. Where were you 5 years ago?
Hmm? Oh, come on, man.
I'm just kidding. No, it's really nice to have like a fresh perspective on music.
Yeah, how has that been for you?
Great. I mean, with this, it's constantly new bands, constantly older bands, like the up and coming. So it's a constant flow of music, and it's weird. Like, it's kind of funny. This hit me like 2 months ago, where this is technically what I used to do. Where you just go on shows when you're young and talking to whoever you can. Either whether it's a club promoter or like a band or a friend of a band that you want to try to hang out with. I was like, this is what we used to do. It's weird. This is like another version of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And then riffs started to come back. It's
really
weird.
Sorry to turn the question around, but do you get the feeling that you were starting over at some point?
Of course.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like with this and...
Multiple times. Let's see. There's the obvious tragedy of Mitch. There's the self-titled was a big reset for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after... And it's funny because when you make a change, there'll be remnants of said change. And you kind of have to go through. I want to kind of fine-tune things.
Right.
So I'll call that, for me, like maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So you know how it is to kind of start over.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
How's that been for you?
It's been good. I mean, I don't want to make this, I mean, none of this is about me, right? But it was just good to find a bunch of people who are on the same wavelength and mm-hmm. who are supportive of things that I want to talk about. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? That was a really big thing for me. Like people that want to push me to express the things that I want to say without barriers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And this group of friends and the people that we're working with, no one's like sticking any barriers up and saying, you know, you can't say this, you can't say that, or this is too extreme, or even musically, you know, like, I feel like we all have the same opinion that we're just going to go as far as we want and in any direction we want. And I felt mm-hmm. that with my previous project, it was barriers everywhere, barriers. You know, mm-hmm. we need to do this because of that. And, you know, it was just, it's been very liberating for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For all of us, I think.
I think like doing this band was the outlet we all needed at the time we decided to make it, coincidentally, because none of us was necessarily meant to build a new band together. It just happened all so naturally. And like we got the proof time and time again that I was the right thing that was supposed to happen in a ways that we needed that outlet. We needed to have someone as forward thinking as Aaron when it comes to lyrics and being able to put into words like things that people are going through on the daily. And even though sometimes we're afraid that maybe it was going to get too extreme, it's been actually more like celebrated in a way that people are like, oh, finally I now see someone that's been going through the same things that I've been going through and that's been able to put it into words, and like someone that I can look up to and not feel so alone anymore. And then also on the musical side, that this has provided an outlet for us to play the music we've had in our hearts for a while, but never really been able to explore, because being part of like different projects and other genres at a different time in music. So this was like, stars aligned in that matter, that it's been like a salvatory.
I'm not sure if you know this, but Steve also plays in Betraying the Martyrs.
Yes.
And they recently just announced their breakup.
That was a question I had for later.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, man.
Oh, you're fine. No, this is your flow, not mine.
Yeah, I mean, so the fact that I got to pick, I mean, my favorite person from the band, like, you know, just whoop, and now he's come in and we're doing it together. It's just, it's just great, man.
Yeah.
Just being surrounded by good people, you know, you're surrounded by great people, so you know how important that is to... for happiness and to being a productive, you know what I mean?
Of course, man. What did you initially think when, since, okay, now we're going backwards, but it's fine. What did you think when Aaron was kind of out and one foot out? Here you go. Sick.
I'm interested to know, because he was extremely supportive.
Okay.
And so that's what's funny is that, so yep. Yesterday we played a venue in Los Angeles, 1720. Last time we played there, that was with Betraying the Martyrs. Mm-hmm. That very same night when we left the venue, 3 hours after that, everything was burning in our van. So this venue and this thing is very special because the next day after we burned the van, I was with Aaron in the swimming pool. We were in the middle of a hotel in the middle of nowhere. And Aaron came to me and he was like, dude, I got to tell you something. I'm telling it to you because...
We got this. Yeah, you know what I mean?
We got
those people. That-
yeah. And he told me, I need to get out of that. And I was like, please do. Because back then he was feeling, he was not.
You can say it.
you were fucked by then. You were like, yep. You couldn't go on stage and feel yourself. And I could feel it. And before being my colleague, Aaron has always been my friend. And as a friend, I was like, please, dude, get out of that. Because it was destructive for him, and I don't want to see my friend like so bad and stuff. So after that, for me personally, saying that meant like shooting myself in the foot, because in my head,
in the back of your head, yeah, like, yeah.
And I was like, Betraying the Martyrs without Aaron doesn't exist. I mean, I've been watching Betraying the Martyrs as a kid, as a fanboy, you know, and all I could see was this big dude like ripping the stage, and I was like, what is this band without this guy? And pandemic happened and 2 years of depression, and just like thinking about what we've done before is never coming back ever. And in my head, I was done. And then one day I was just like completely in the middle of a burnout. I was going on vacation in Thailand. I was at the airport. He called me. He was like, hey, actually, Nico, our bassist, cannot really do shows for 1056 humanity. And I was like, fuck yes, let's go. Let's go. It was like, and since then, never stopped. Things happened with Betraying the Martyrs that, well, eventually we couldn't keep up. It was becoming very complicated to continue as a band. But I feel so grateful that somehow things turned out that here we are. And what's funny is that this dude here, Arno, we played together in Uneven Structure, a band, progressive metal band, like in 2016.
Oh yeah. Betraying the Martyrs stole Steve's exactly. from me, and now I'm stealing Steve's back.
Exactly. That's leaving Uneven cool. Structure, it broke my heart because I was leaving him especially. And now, like, I'm back in the game with these two guys, and I have these two guys as well that I mean, Queenie, I know him for, like, more than 10 years, yeah. Stuff like that.
10 years?
Yeah, always been friends and all. And that's what I feel is very valuable with this project. It's the, like, we are, like, friends before being colleagues, right? So, which makes a huge, huge difference. I guess you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's... you can be in bands where you have colleagues and it's not enjoyable.
It's not.
No. When you're on the road, especially, you need to be with friends, in my opinion. Yeah. Well, it turned out well.
It did. It's like this this undeniable energy that's brought like your friends back,
yeah.
And brought like the right people, like the right amount of crazy, the right members. That's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. We brought brothers by design. Like, we haven't even chose it for ourselves. It's just like the universe put us in that spot at that time. Yeah. Because nothing would have like told me in any parameters that I would be in a band with Aaron. Like, we just like met across festivals and then, but we hardly ever spoke before.
Mm-hmm.
Queenie, we did our first European tour together like over 10 years ago when we were both illegal and needed to have the letters from our parents allowing us to leave the country.
Whoa.
Steve's, we've been in bands together. Luca, we didn't know.
He was an embryo at that point.
Yeah.
I'm the same age as you guys.
Not really.
Not really.
You too.
Yeah.
Pretty much the same. 1 year.
Yeah.
2 years.
That's 10 years.
10 years.
10 years. Yeah.
Wow.
I got to tell you something. It's kind of fascinating that when Aaron was kind of on like the way out, you look at him at first as a friend.
Because that's what people should do, right? I mean, it felt natural to me. One thing that struck me when I entered the band, Betraying the Martyrs, is that I felt Aaron was really like, I thought he was the guy in charge of everything. when I joined the band, I realized it was very different.
He's in charge of nothing.
Yeah. No, it was more barriers once more.
Yes. You know? Okay. Exactly. Yeah.
More barriers, more, I won't use the word gatekeeping necessarily, but yeah, I just didn't have access to the things that I should have had access to. And yeah, and that's what happens.
Yeah. No, but I mean, that's one of the things I was really surprised with. And I was like, why like the rest of the band doesn't really listen to what he says? Because there is like very interesting ideas. And I remember we started writing music with BTM the very last moments before you left the band. That kind of felt somehow like very, well, too heavy for Betraying the Waters, of course.
Yeah.
But some kind of the premises of, I mean, not the premises.
Forced
the,
or? Like,
the,
or
the little thing that became something that you can feel in 1056 now. Mm. In the way he was approaching like the no compromise writing of stuff, pretty much, which wasn't possible for him in Betraying the Mother, I believe.
Yeah.
It wasn't possible. So, yeah. And that's what friends do. Like, he had way, way, way more potential.
Friends also tell friends to stop hitting the table because you're playing them.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was great. So, it's always good to have friends that, you know, have your best interests at heart, you know, not their own. Yeah. He was one of those people who was like, okay, you're destroying yourself, like, physically, I can see it, you know. I was, like, bloated, bloated to fuck, drinking and shit. I was just unhappy, you know.
Yeah. Were you, do you believe in karma?
I don't want to admit it because I've probably got some pretty bad stuff coming my way, if that's the case, you know what I mean? From the past or whatever. But yeah, I guess I do, yeah. I mean, if you're nice to people, people are nice to you.
Man. Yeah, well, there's not, karma isn't always bad. People, when you say the word karma, people just immediately associate it with bad, but you know, there's good. And I think this is a prime example of good karma.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you're willing kind of, you basically without even saying it, like, you're willing to walk, okay, if he's gone, my band's gone.
Yeah.
But you're willing to step away.
I don't want my friend to feel bad. And I mean, yeah, karma, of course, I do believe in it. Even if it doesn't exist, it's just a principle of life. That just be nice to other and think, like, about the wellness around you.
What you give, you get back.
Exactly.
Yeah. But Steve, of all people, is that one person that will put everyone's well-being before his own to a point where it's irritating. Yeah. Like slap in the face irritating sometimes. Yeah. It's just like, go to fucking bed. Stop worrying so much about other people. Like, think about you for just once in your life. He does that.
I think that's a great quality. That's cool, man. Yeah. You should be proud.
We love you, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You. You're a blessing. You're a blessing.
That's not heavy, dude. What the fuck's going on, man?
But I do punch my bass sometimes, so that's the heavy
part. Yeah, that's the outlet you need. Yeah.
And just end up with bloody t-shirt every night.
I see it. It's pretty insane what all of you guys have done since 2019. The band started in 2019, correct?
20. We went public in 21.
21, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so we played our first show in April.
Last year in March.
22.
Last year?
We just played our first show last year. Okay.
Just over a year ago, yeah.
What are you guys doing?
This was supposed to be a side project, and it went sideways so fast, like, to a point where it was just like,
Was it last year?
This was a side project?
Yeah. It was last year.
Yeah, it was.
We played our first show last year.
It was supposed to be an outlet, like, for a change of what we used to do with our other bands, and then, like, on accident, people started getting into it and we started like signing contracts with partners. And then like before we knew it, we were damned.
Yeah. We're sitting in the tour bus like, oh shit, it's gone too far. You know what I mean? You know, I just wanted to write some breakdowns. God damn it.
Yeah.
Now we're on tour and stuff. No. Yeah, it's great. I mean,
it's a blessing.
Yeah. Blessing.
It's like everything that's been happening to us for the past year and a half is like a compilation of childhood dreams for most of us. I mean, Aaron's been doing the rounds for a while. Steve's has had his like fair share of experiences. Queenie, myself a bit, Luca a bit less, but Luca is just like, he's been like, his growth has been so incredibly fast. Like, he was the guy that had no self-confidence in like being able to shoot a music video or behave on stage or speak English or just like communicate with people and just instinctively and just putting the hours and energy into it, he got like, I'd say much better than many of us in the band at doing so. He's just, he's a beast at everything he's been.
I think the cosplaying Jeff Hardy was the best thing that you could have done.
What happened?
Cosplaying Jeff Hardy, I would say that it looks like Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I wear like long sleeves.
Yeah, long black sleeves. And he's got that sweet hair and he's all, he's like Jeff Hardy, man. You know who Jeff Hardy
is? Of course.
Yeah.
A smaller one.
Okay.
Wrestling.
Small Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, cute pocket-sized Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, that's me.
I've got that a few times too.
Mm-hmm.
You look like Jeff Hardy.
You could be Matt Hardy, I think.
Matt, okay. Dude, we could be a wrestling duo.
Let's do it.
And then could start our own band. And then that'll be a side project that turns into our main band.
Yeah, and it'll be called Ladders and Chairs or some shit.
Ladders and Chairs?
Yeah.
Did you just come up with that right now?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
Ladders and Chairs?
Ladders and Chairs.
Is there a band called Ladders and Chairs? That'll be like
he's got the Hardy Boys.
That'll be like the sickest like wrestling.
I'm sorry, but can you go back to that photo? I mean, how do you not look like Jeff Hardy? Right, so you are.
Yeah, there's definitely.
I mean, yeah.
Please don't tell me I look like that. I don't want to look like that at all.
That's exactly what you look like.
No, dude. I mean, no. He's no. They're both handsome.
Yeah,
you know,
and they're living legends too.
Living legends. Like, I mean, what they've done to their bodies, dude.
It's insane.
All those ladder matches. Like, how do you, and how do you keep doing that without being seriously injured? Well, they probably were.
Whilst having so much Riz doing it. Look, that photo, the one where they're in the red. Boom. I'm sorry, but that's Luca right there.
Luca, I got to be honest with you. The fact that he tucks in his shirt and you do as well, it does add to it.
Okay. Accept that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, fine.
Sometimes you just gotta accept it.
Yeah.
This gentleman came up to me and was like, dude, I thought you were the bass player for Metallica. I was like, cool.
You should have said, yeah, I am.
I am. What's up?
So
buy me a drink.
Buy me a drink. Do you have a baby? I'll sign it.
Yeah. I'll lean up. I mean, Rob is a handsome man. I'm not saying he's fat, but what I've noticed is when I've been out of my diet, I'm eating a lot of pizza, drinking a lot of beer, I'm bloated, people start saying it. I have like this automatic negative thought.
You're when saying that Rob's fat.
No, I'm not. No, he's not. But it's just something when my face
is saying that Rob's fat?
When I get a little bit,
I think chunky. You're saying the Rob's fat.
No, is that the headline?
That's it. That's a thumbnail.
It says,
do one of these faces.
Oh, that's
Rob's fat.
Oh, this is. On the way, it is like if I get like a little bit chunky, I think we just look so
Rob's
alike.
Chunky as well. Okay.
No, I don't know what it is. So I don't care, but it's just like I just automatically associate you're saying on fat. If that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
I don't care about the comment.
One, that middle one is there's something. There's definitely something here.
Is there something there?
Same person here.
Yeah.
That's you. That's you. After a few pizzas.
Oh my goodness.
How do you guys compare in terms of net worth, you reckon?
Well, I wish my net worth from the internet was true.
Oh,
how much is yours?
How heavy are you?
I think it was oh my god, we're gonna pull it up right now. I saw 3 million.
Dude.
Wow.
One of these sites, mine is something like 57 million.
57 million?
I'm not even close to anything.
Dude, buy me a car, man. What the fuck are you doing?
I want $57. That would be fine. You know what I mean?
It was 16 million on one of these websites, but 100? Also you had $2.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, two daughters as well, it says.
Same.
I don't have any children.
Where do people get these net worths from? I don't get it.
Just like rough estimates from streaming numbers and potential assets. It's just like comparison.
You are one of the richest guitarists from the United States.
Oh my, that is so wrong. Go up. $100 million?
100 million.
Hey.
Damn, dude. I could fucking buy a car, dude.
That next website,
these bids aren't even
like
cold.
According to Forbes. So Forbes has been looking into your accounts, G.
Oh, no.
That's pretty cool.
You got the IRS fucking knocking on the door and shit.
It's scary. Oh, no. I always do my taxes. Yeah, got to do it.
As we all, right? Yeah.
No matter how much I didn't make.
Yeah.
guy. There's no matter how broke I ever been or the band's ever been, always done my taxes, always get health insurance.
Oh yeah. And now you're worth $100 million.
One day. maybe it's your future net worth.
Yeah.
Maybe it's
when Joe Rogan gets assassinated mysteriously in the upcoming weeks and your podcast gets bought out by Spotify.
Oh, damn.
That's when it's happening.
That is a kind of a worry. It's like, man, like...
What, the Joe Rogan's going to get hit?
No, is that a thing right now?
I think I'm putting a hit on him, so your podcast becomes the biggest podcast.
Appreciate that.
And that's how you're going to get to 100 million.
Okay.
And I'll do your taxes.
Oh, thank you.
I got you, mate.
Doing taxes suck, dude.
Yes.
I would know because I do that all the time as well.
Do you have health insurance?
Well, we're from Europe, so that's what's up.
It's a given. Okay, great. It's a given. It's just like being born here.
Okay.
There's not much happening. It's just like, that's a granted.
That's sick.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. Up to a certain point, though, like Americans would assume we have everything and anything for free. You know, it's just like,
it's not.
We have like a very hefty, comfortable safety net when it comes to health.
Yeah. That is. But it's not like you have to pay to touch a baby or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know. Yeah.
Of course. So let's say you need Serge, you needed to get your gallbladder taken out. Is that covered?
Did you know that I just...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I stayed in the hospital for, 4 days, I think? And I had this crazy room with a TV. I was gaming. I was showering. It was dope as fuck. It cost me €150 in total. For everything.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And they pay for my taxi home as well.
What the fuck?
And
wow.
if you don't pay this 150, they'll just forget about it. Yeah. It's just okay.
They're like, oh, we were just joking. You know?
Damn, dude.
Yeah. 150 euros. And even I was like, well, that's a bit steep.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
you thought that?
Oh, we felt bad for him that he had to pay 150 because, like, in our mindset in Europe, it's like, so you had to go through surgery and you have to pay for this shit. It's just like, bro. So that's a bad news on top of a bad news. That's terrible. Dude, but it's just like the model is totally shifted, which isn't very cool because that makes us very entitled. I suppose like having access to health and just like surgery and heavy procedures and getting away with it, not paying for.
I guess that's why we crossed the street so fucking, you know what I mean? Oh, it's not even looking. It's going to cost me nothing, whatever happens, you know what I mean? Everyone's just crossing the street recklessly because whatever happens, I'm not paying for it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, your surgery happened back in February, correct?
Something like that, yeah.
What was it, gallstones?
Yeah.
I hear that that's the worst pain. My lady just had it. It's terrible.
Bro, like the first time I had two, like, I don't know what to call it, like episodes or what, a pain episodes. First one, I was doing sit-ups and it just happened, right? Mm-hmm. But I was on my own. I was just crawling around on the floor for like an hour, maybe two, just like drooling on myself. You know, when you're so much in pain that you're just like, ah. And the second time, we were recording vocals together at my house. And I was just like doing vocals and it just hit me again. And luckily, they were there and they were like, hospital. And I was like, nah. They were like, yeah, hospital.
Yeah, we got to go.
Yeah. I went there. I was just like, they'll just give me some painkillers and send me away. Huh. 4 days later, came out. Yeah. But I'm glad I had it taken care of, right? Because they were like going towards my pancreas and they were like, yeah, you could have got pancreatitis or whatever it's called.
So they probably had to give you an x-ray. So, you know what? I mean, because they first say, that's pretty common, they'll send you home with like painkillers.
Yeah.
And then, like, what's, like, okay, so you go back?
I went to the emergency room.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know that feeling, like, where you go to the emergency room and it's not hurting anymore? You know what I mean? When you go to see the doctor, and as soon as you get in front of him, he's like, what's up? It's like, well, I feel fine now, but earlier, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like that. I was like, oh, I feel fine. And then they just put me in a scanner, They were like, all right, that's good. I'm going to take it out or whatever.
Fuck, that sucks, dude.
Yeah. I mean, I poo a bit weird now, but fucking that's it.
Yeah, so what is the... So if you get your gallbladder removed, what is like the after effects? Like what changes?
It stocks excess bile.
It creates bile.
Yeah. But I think it stores it too.
So that's something about bile.
I'd assume bile. That if you vomit from now on, it's going to be a totally different experience.
I haven't done it yet.
Want to try?
Yeah. Can you pass me another beer, mate?
Beer it up, dude.
Yeah, beer it up. I mean, I just poo a bit weird now. But, I mean, when we're in the States, we shit super weird anyway.
It's true.
Like longs, flaky snakes, whatever.
Yeah.
But back home, it's like logs.
And doing all of that while touching your, like, toilet-made feet that you don't know? Like that heavy trucker middle of Texas?
The lack of privacy in American toilets is mental. Like, your doors are, like, this big, and there's, like, gaps. And
there's, like, this big, like, two-inch gap.
Yeah, and you're making eye contact with some dude.
And I'm just taking a shit right now. Yeah, bro. My goodness.
In some venues, you, like, sit in taking a shit, and your head's, like, above the door or whatever. You're like...
Do you have some explanations about that? Because we really cannot understand what's going on.
Like, were you on a budget when building all these toilets? Because you go, like, all... fancy and glitters, but then you didn't have like what it takes for that extra lumber piece for like filling the lower part of the door. That's weird.
I don't know. I think it's a mix of, it's like, who is going to the bathrooms and kicking down the fucking doors?
Because they're all fucked.
It's like you gotta go to the bathroom that bad, you just run up and kick the door down. Like, why are all the bathroom stalls fucked up?
Yeah. Why? Because of the food, right? Because every time I go to the toilet when I'm here, it is...
You're just pissed.
It's an emergency, man. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I want everyone to see me shit right now so you kick down the door.
I'm not calmly walking up, opening the door, undoing my belt. You know, it's like, boom, dude. Kick down the door, ripping everything off, T-shirts coming off. I'm sweating, touching, you know what I mean?
Yeah, my second day in the USA, I had to go to the toilet like 8 or 9 times in a day because of Popeyes.
He costed us, and we could number it up to $40 because we were actually on a 2 hours Uber drive because we had an RV delay, and we were like 2 hours from the airport. What was it? Liberty, Newark, to like upstate New York. 2 hours Uber drive, and then he had to stop us at a Wendy's. So his first experience in the US in a Wendy's was just like blowing up the toilets. And that was like, that was numbered up to $30, the weight we had.
Oh, yeah. He swanton bombed that fucking toilet, man. Ladders and chairs, baby.
Oh my gosh, dude.
Yeah.
Are we looking at pictures of the toilet?
Straight of a horror movie. Is this from a Saw franchise movie, or is it just a regular classic American toilet? I have my idea on this.
No, they're all terrible.
Yeah.
All right, subject change.
No, exactly. we'll just close it out. It's not just us. I go to France and, well, one, sometimes you don't even have a toilet, so there's that.
Hole in the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I guess French people aren't really the best position to
So what's
talking.
With that?
Oh, yeah. You know full well that.
Hole in the floor as a toilet in France.
Yeah.
We call it Turkish, no? Turkish toilets, but it's Turkish like, toilets. It's getting like more and more sparse.
I haven't seen that in a while.
But still, like, we have walls, we have like a bit of privacy, which is like...
We don't see each other's feet, like...
Yeah, it's cool.
We don't want to see that.
Well, I think this is a problem with venues. If you play any venue.
I have a video of me handing the buyout money to the guys like just above the door because it was so low I could just like
subject change.
Yeah, please. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. And one more thing about the toilet. So what, who came up with the concept with the downer?
Okay, so downer was my original idea for the
name of the band.
Yeah, for the name of the band.
Okay.
And then, like, there's a rapper, right? I think an Australian rapper called Downer with a 0 and a 3. And we were just like, okay, let's hit up their management or whatever. And they were like, call your band Downer and we'll sue you. So we're like, oh, shit.
Threaten and sue you?
Yeah. And, like, if that you do sucks. Legal action straight away, and we're like, all right, fucking.
Straight away.
So it was, like, last minute change. Okay, what else? I was like, 1056. There's this band called Villains from Chicago who did an album called 10 Code, and they had a song called 1056 on there. I don't think they're together anymore. But like that whole Chicago sound, you know, like Sworn In, I think Barrier, Monsters, there's just like so many good bands that came out of that area and that era as well.
Yeah.
That inspired like everything that we do. Like, you know, if it wasn't for like Sworn In and bands like that, I mean.
Dude, I got a jam Sworn In, dude.
Dude, remember that? That the Death Card album? Oh, bro. Dude,
Sworn In.
I mean, I can't remember.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. They had such a like influx of such like awesome bands that, you know, bands are trying to sound like that now, and that was happening like 10 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And I was just like, right, 1056. Not ripping them off, it's more like a homage, you know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I hope those guys know that that's why we're called 1056.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's a sick ass police code as well.
What, yeah.
Well, it means a crime scene, right?
Death by suicide on a scene or
drug usage.
Yeah, people under the influence on like public ways, sort of. So it's just like two subjects that really match anyways the themes we're getting into in our songs.
Mm-hmm.
And it writes real well on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Also, I think.
Yeah.
Genius.
It rolls off the tongue, except when you're getting interviewed by like French people. They're like, we are here with 10
Dude, looking up interviews of your band was driving me insane.
Was it all French?
Yeah, it was all French. Yeah. Oh, here's one.
Oh, shit, it's in French.
Yeah, it's that one. The one had captions.
Oh.
Like, dang, dude. What was your home venue in France?
Home venue?
Yeah.
Don't really have... We don't have, like, nowhere to call... Like home as an HQ.
Backstage.
It's near Le Moulin Rouge.
Okay.
In Pigalle. It's just like this small, you got a bar, and then like at the bottom of this bar, there's like a kind of an underground music venue, backstage by the mill.
What's the cap?
Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
The Backstage BTM.
That we did our first like official Parisian headline show there.
Yeah.
And it sold the fuck out, and we were just like, what's going on?
Really?
Yeah, this is so cool. Like, there were people, there were a queue outside. It was, yeah, so cool. And that's also where we do our production rehearsals. Like, once a year, we get allowed 2 days of production rehearsals, and that packs the show we're going to play for that year. Yeah, because let it be known, ever since we started being a band, we probably packed 3 days of rehearsals total ever. I mean, we can't be arsed. We just don't want to do it
on tour.
Like. Yeah, we just want to play like shows.
So So this is a new way to be in a band. So I'm learning. So let's just skip the rehearsal process and let's go straight to the stage.
Yeah, but it's right? A mindset and a matter of habit. We got so many of our pals that rehearse once a week, like religiously.
Mm-hmm.
For us, it's just like either we have something very important to do, more like production side.
Mm-hmm.
As for the rest, we kind of trust ourselves. Also, we're playing very ignorant music, so it's low IQ music. It doesn't like require that much groundwork before being able to do it properly, I guess. Not to disrespect our music, but it's just...
You guys are just naturally sick. Are you guys drop A?
It's like different kind of drops.
So it's a drop A, but it's a different kind of drop too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we are tuned to drop A, but we have like the... E flat E strings as well.
A E A E flat E E flat E.
So you have
you can make anything sound beautiful with this tuning. It's all dissonance and stuff. That
you got the second minor.
That's the only thing you can do.
Yeah. With only a bare chord, you know, you can like just like slide in.
Yeah,
and it would sound like so like fucking like sick. Like this.
Okay.
With only one finger.
So it's like a modern day like open tuning.
Yeah. Don't even
it's
know
a closed can, one.
Right? Yeah.
You can do anything with it.
You really cannot play anything else but 1056 on that shit.
Yeah, trying to jam on
it. Just like really dissonant.
No, yeah.
Impossible. Absolutely not possible.
It's just like you have the drop one, then you have the Satan chord, and then it's all dissonant. Exactly. And that's it.
Yeah.
It's like you look at the guitar and it goes boom.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. And on top of that, we use the pitch shifter from the WAMI DT as well. So we have songs in D or
drop
E,
D, yeah.
You know, but getting down like in the maybe the 8th string thing,
okay.
You know, but just keeping one guitar, we can have like tons of different drop tunings. That's pretty convenient.
I was just listening. I was like, what? because I saw an interview, it's Drop A. I think it was you actually. And then I was like, Drop A. I'm listening to the songs. I'm like, what?
Yeah, but there's always an octave running.
So you have an octave lower going.
Yeah, it's always like 50%, and we have like an octave distortion as well that does apply distortion in an octave lower. I don't even know how it's working. But it makes it sound more.
By the way, he produced and writes everything. He's like, I don't know how it works.
It's all a mistake that worked well.
Something that I learned from him is that heavy doesn't mean low tuning. And I learned it from 1056. Because I was the same as many people. I was like, wow, you're in drop Z, whatever.
Well, yeah, we play in drop D sometimes. Like, boy, it's in drop D. It's actually really low. Like double drop D,
but it feels so like heavy and low that many people are like they're just like wondering like if we're tuned like very low. Actually, not the tone.
That's the problem. That's drop A. Yeah.
Everything comes from the tone and what he managed to do. Like, that he has no idea how.
He doesn't know.
Yeah, how did you guys find this sound?
Hello.
Like how? Yeah, what?
So how it started, right? So how it started, like me, Arno and Quentin got in a room together and we like wrote Diazepam, our first song. And it was like, okay, let's go. Bow, bow. I mean, and he was like, okay, all right. And then he wrote this awesome riff. And then we were like, okay, that sounds kind of sick. And we sent it to Luca and I don't know what he did with it. He's going to take it.
Instantly.
He's going to tell you right now.
I don't know.
In extremely good detail.
I had like the skull of the song, you know, and I tried to pimp it. I just wanted to impress the guys because, like, I wanted to be in this band. And he told me, okay, make something good. And I tried to do so. And Diazepam came out of that.
Oh, yeah.
All the sound design and stuff, that's what I did.
Yeah, and I was pretty scared about this song first because, we were that, like, the three of us and it sounded like pure shit because...
But it sounded like Imior.
I don't have any, like, production skills and stuff. So it was, like, very... very raw, very like, and doesn't sound good to me. And I sent that to Luca, and what he did after, I was like, fuck, I love this song. But I hated the song at the beginning. I was like, no, this shit. It's like, boom, boom. But this guy does like a fucking magical thing on that.
Yeah, it's just like he sent us like snippets by snippets in proportions of like 10 seconds. And just like these 10 seconds, we couldn't get over it. We kept listening to it. Like, what the fuck is happening? Because Queenie sneaked in Luca, unbeknownst to us in the band. And we were just Aaron, Queenie, and I. We didn't want anyone else to be involved apart from us three at the beginning. And then Queenie sent us a bunch of like rough demos and was just like, dude, look what I just wrote. And I was like, this is fucking sick. What's happening? And just like, well, now that I know what you think about it, I gotta tell you about my friend Luca. And at this point, we couldn't say no. So we had to meet the guy, and then it's been,
That was my technique to get him on the band. Like,
that's genius.
I really wanted this guy.
We were at a friend's birthday party, and everybody was showing his stuff. And a friend of mine told me, like, show your stuff. You have to show it. I was like, no, I don't want to show it. And I did. And Quentin came to me like, we are forming this band. Do you think you want to come into the band? And I said, yeah, why not? Okay, send me the files and I'll make them believe that it's me.
And so they will listen to it.
He even pitched you in?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think you needed to do that, though. I would have been like, the 13-year-old kid? Fuck yeah, let's go, man. I remember.
Queenie knows we're a bunch of like narrow-minded, like confident bunch sometimes. He thought he'd have to like, go
no
that,
experience,
over that
no
barrier.
Shit, we don't want him.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's a good friend because like sometimes you know your friend's dynamic. You kind of know, okay, wait, maybe if I just make it more innocent. He'll be more. Sometimes you got to open the minds of your bandmates, and it sucks.
It fucking drives me
insane.
It was the very beginning of the project, so I didn't want to instantly going like, "Hey, I want this new guy to be here. Can you listen to what he's doing?"
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, "I'll do it that way. Maybe it's gonna be easier," and it worked. So
everything in this band happened in this like similar fashion. That was the four of us, and then when it game time, Aaron was still working at a bar by then, and he had a friend of ours, Nico from Novalist. He had him listening to what then became Diazepam, like Luca's version. And this guy, drunk at a bar at 2 a.m., was just like, I mean, let me be a part of this band and I'll sign you to my label. And that's how we got signed to our current label.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he listened to that song.
To it once at the bar. He was like, all right, cool. You guys are signed.
What?
And it was just like a little snippet of what he'd done.
Yeah, around shots at 2 a.m. at the bar Aaron was working in. And then we got a label with Nico from Novalist. And then he couldn't really get involved with that band because it was busy with Novalist. And he's got like a leader mindset. So if he's not like 100% in control, mm-hmm. he's not really interested in. So he just like very kindly stepped out, which made room for Steve's, which is our like brother and best friend collectively. And then on the same kind of accident, we got a booking agent and another one. And it's yeah. just like it feels like we tripped over a stick 2 years ago and we're just like on the verge of falling for the past 2 years. We're just like things get happening on accident ever since.
Why does everything sound like an accident?
Happy accident, though.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know how I found this tone, but well, I got it.
Even the music sounds like an accident.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we like put it out, but you know. We've known each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. We've been on the road together and stuff. And you meet those people, right? You know, so mm-hmm. it's a lot easier to contact like a Marco from Avocado Booking and be like, no.
Yeah.
But what's funny is he messaged us. He was like,
yeah, he came to us.
Yeah, can I book you guys? We're like, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoops. You know? Yeah. And then JJ came along, JJ Cassier, who boxes in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Like our record label guy, owner, Andre, was like, I'm flying to the States to talk to some people. And he was like, meet JJ. And JJ's like, you want to work together? Yep.
And yeah.
It's like, too it. Easy.
Yeah.
But I guess like the biggest takeaway from all this adventure with this band is that things start happening once you stop actively looking for it and you just focus on the love of your craft and just like mm-hmm. doing what you do. Because we all spent like 10 years doing this before and things were a bit harder to come by. And I like on retrospect, I think because maybe some of us were like trying to force things to happen or connections to be made. And from the moment we stopped looking for this, because this was just a fun little project for us and we were doing out of pure love and the need for an outlet. And then since like all the best thing in life, love is the main like driver behind this. Like if you look at cathedrals in Europe, this is for like love of like a superior being. Anything like beautiful or outstanding comes out of a labor of love beyond everything. And this was a labor of love, and that's when shit started happening. Once we stopped looking for things in particular and just did things out of sheer love, right?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Like, damn.
Yeah. He's beautiful. Sometimes that he speaks and it's fucking poetic as fuck.
He knows how to speak.
That was very thoughtful.
That's two drinks, Arno. launching on three drinks, Arno.
Do I need to catch up? Shit.
Yeah. whoever's closest to the fridge.
Evil.
Whoever's closest.
What do you guys want?
We do have Faygo.
Faygo.
Ever heard of Faygo?
Yeah, is that is the, fucking hell. ICP shit?
Yeah.
They spray on the crowd and stuff? Yes,
that's what we got.
Is that your shit? Are you guys like sponsored by Faygo?
I wish. That'd be pretty sick. No, we just have them here.
It's like cotton candy?
Can't really talk about it, but we had a potential guest, so I want to make sure they're there.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's fucking chilling.
Well, maybe I spoke to a certain person who maybe...
Sick.
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of...
You know,
what kind of guitars are you guys using?
We play with Vola guitars and...
Vola?
Yeah, Vola.
I never seen them until I started doing... I started looking at them.
Yeah, I think it's a Chinese brand.
Nah.
A Chinese and American brand?
Nah.
Nah, an American brand run by
a... Korean guitar manufacturer that... makes the guitar in Japan and the USA.
But
the it's a Korean Chinese. And...
Chinese? You told me that, no?
No, Korean. CEO is from Korea, South Korea, and Hong Kong, I think. It's not... it's
not Czech. No, they're
I'm a racist.
Awesome guitarists. And I've been
sounds
working...
like you guys can't tell the difference, you know.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, it's awesome guitars. I've been working for them for the past like 4 or 5 years now. 4 years, yeah. And I get the chance to create my own signature model back in 2018. And we are playing the same guitar for now, and he's getting a brand new one.
Yeah, mine is getting done, but for now we are using his signature models, this one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Japanese version of it. Like the
sick.
And you have like a USA custom shop version that like relict as fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Look like a very old Fender Stratocaster, you know.
That's
like
cool.
Just like this one.
Wow.
Yeah. I like your signatures.
I like Fender. I like the look of it. It's classy.
Are you just running Fenders now?
Yeah. I love that.
Because even Fenders. Your signature, you had that fucking shape, right?
The Tele shape. Yeah. Yeah. I just always liked it. I mean, I'm born raised in Corona, so that's where the Fender shop is. So kind of a look at the draw of life.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh shit, I live down the street from the greatest shit ever. Which also under the same warehouse, they have Gretsch there, they have Jackson.
Yep.
Chevelle, boom. Nice. That's crazy. But yeah, so when I saw these guitars, I'm like, damn, what? They're like on steroids.
They are.
And you have... And,
that one in the middle's taking a puff of meth right now.
You have the bare knuckle on that, right?
Yeah. We have like on our personal, but the Japanese version
you don't have. Volastox model.
This is like Volastox pickups.
Okay, cool.
On the USA version, we have like the Dragonaut and Trilogy suites.
Nice. And the bare knuckle, is that passive?
Yeah.
Yep.
Passive. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You are the
I'm
perfect
really not
band.
A big fan of active pickups, to be honest.
Okay.
Sorry for that.
The perfect band. This is actually the reason why you guys are here today. I need help finding a great passive pickup, and I don't know where to start.
Very well, what do you search for in terms of fitting?
Long story short, I used a guitar on a cleansing that it was a no brand, but it had a Seymour Duncan passive pickup in there, and I've been chasing that tone literally like my whole career.
I really love the passive
Nazgul and Sanction.
I don't know where to...
Yeah, the pickups in Nazgul are fucking dope.
Yeah,
I love them.
Which ones?
Nazgul and
Sentience. From Seymour Duncan, Nazgul and Sentience.
Yeah, that's a neck and bridge, and you have like Pegasus.
Sentient.
Sentient. I don't know how to say
it. I need a place to start. Okay.
Nazgul. There you go.
This one is really, really sick.
It looks
of
like a piece
one of my favorite one.
If you want to upgrade into the boutique kind of pickups, you go to Barnacle.
Yeah.
Okay.
And try the Silo. It's the Rabbi Amassad signature pickup and sounds fucking dope.
Depends on what you want to say, because like the humbucker is like the single coil is crazy with the Silo. If
the
you
split
want
core,
more straight up metal sound, maybe the like the Painkiller or something like that would be better, I guess.
Oh yeah, very much more.
I like the Nade Bombs as well.
Yeah.
Dude, Nade Bombs are
For my signature, I'm getting
warpigs. We've been talking about toilets for an hour.
Are we going to talk about drums at some point, or can I just leave now, guys?
But you already dropped the mic earlier. You said this very beautiful, poetic...
Yeah, you said...
Did you drum?
Yeah.
Drummers and singers always want more of the moment. you had a beautiful moment.
Yeah, no, that's true.
What's... what was the... A Nazgul and a Sentient.
Yeah, but it's the
Nightmare. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a Sentient,
Okay, cool. So it's one a bridge and one a...
Sentient is the neck.
Yeah,
Nazgul is the bridge. And you have also the Pegasus on the bridge. That's like less hot of output.
Okay.
So you're trying to get some of that cleansing tone back in there?
I've been trying literally like years. It's funny, my whole life's been a big circle.
Just looking for that.
Just a big, stupid circle.
The album, though,
I want to do more like it. You don't know what you're doing, and you strike gold, and you don't know how you did it. Yeah, you have no idea. Like how'd you do that?
Yeah, it was by accident, right?
Accident. And you guys did it. Like this, you guys did the same thing.
Yeah. Now we're gonna try and do something cool next, and it's gonna sound like total shit.
There's a magic to not knowing exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I love Luca's approach. Like, when he's doing music,
not knowing anything, that's what I'm doing.
He would just like, he'd like click a button, it would be like, blah. We're like, okay, oh, that sounded cool. Just stick that in there. So, should we clean it up? No. Let's move on, whatever. And it's just a big Tetris, game of Tetris of turd sounds, and it sounds fucking awesome.
How does your band approach two things? This is what I'm probably most curious about your band. How do you approach, first of all, anyone that listening, watching, seriously, turn off this podcast and listen to this fucking band. Because I was like, I was listening to you guys. I'm like, what? First of all, it's insanely heavy. It's insanely heavy. But, and like you guys also did like the whammy stuff good. It's just like, man, it's extremely heavy. Plus, like, you come in with the melodic choruses. I was like, damn, this is fucking sick, dude. This is great.
Thanks, man.
It's cool. And I was like, well, how are they writing songs? How do you even start to write a riff like that?
Usually, it often starts with the ambience and what we want to say with Aaron. What Aaron wants to say, I ask him. And try to write something that matches what he wants to say.
Yeah, like the theme comes first, right?
Yeah.
He'd be like, what's the song going to be about? I'll be like, okay, I want to say this. And he's like, okay, leave it to me.
Really?
Yeah. And then he sits in his room for a day or two and then he sends something and I'm like, yeah. Sick.
I don't even start from the riff. I write ambience first.
Atmospheres, like.
Yeah.
Atmospheric
like stuff. Atmospheres and stuff first. I try to build something. And when I have the mood that I want to get, then I write maybe a pattern, a drum pattern or something. And then the guitars, because like there's no real riffs actually in our songs. Mm-hmm. But it's just like rhythms and atmosphere, I guess. That's it.
So you start with, Aaron will come, you'll come in with like this subject matter or whatever. Like
something like that, yeah.
Is it like a...
It's not always the case, but that's how we want to do it and how we do most of the time.
Is it a word you have? Is it like a sentence you have? Is it like a skeleton of a song that you have?
Mostly it's like a traumatic event or something like that. I'd be like, you know, this happened to me, whatever, how many years ago, or, you know, I went through this or this kind of feeling, and I'll like tell him about it and he'll be like, okay. And he'll like just turn that into just try and grab the feeling of what I was feeling at that time. And that's like a whole new level of expression, you know.
That explains your band.
And communication too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Having the confidence in your brothers in your band to like say that kind of stuff and then put your trust in them to like turn it into something cool.
So you have like everyone is aware of the intention of what's happening.
Sure. Yeah. One of the first thing we said together as a band, one of the collective messages that stuck is just no compromise, and that goes for everything.
So good.
There's like no direction, no aim for success. Like whatever we do it uncompromised. And even if that like drives us to our loss or demise, then at least we would have done everything the way we wanted to, with no filter or no trying to please anyone else but ourselves. It's just like that goes with lyrical, that goes with music production, that goes with the way we're trying to handle business. It's just like no compromise. That's the only rule we have to stick to together.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great rule.
Yeah. I mean, we've all had to spread our butt cheeks at one point, you know, in the industry.
Yeah.
In our separate lives.
Still doing it. Still getting fucked.
Yeah.
It never ends unless you're smart and aware of what's actually happening. You know, it takes a long time.
Well, we're wearing fucking butt plugs now.
Good. Okay.
Oh, but
I'm going to get one.
Butt plugs are not merch cut proof, though.
No.
What's your, it's funny. I don't know why I should even talk about this, but yeah,
do it.
I've been like thinking like, man, should we just stop touring for a while? Like,
A touring strike?
Yeah, no. You could do that too. But man, it's like just
you guys.
Just a temporary expenses. I'm curious how where you guys are at with like, and what are like the merch cuts at out there? Like, what's I know like Live Nation did like this thing recently.
Yeah.
We're gonna experience that benefit for the first time tonight. Actually, potentially, because all the venues, even run by Live Nation, we've been doing this tour, were not part of that program because there's a small amount of venues. Well, merch cut for one is a first for us being from Europe, because there's no such thing as merch cuts in Europe except for festival, but they provide a service. They sell your merch. Well, then a merch cut makes sense. But here in the US, it's just like for a small square footage and a table that they take 20% off of you. Obviously, that makes no sense for us. And obviously, there's going to be like counterparts and consequences to this like apparent blessing Live Nation is giving right now. But just got to wait and see what it's going to be about, I guess.
Hmm. It's good that like attention got brought to that. I think the Alpha Wolf might have had something to do with that, right?
Bad Omens too, I think.
Bad Omens, yeah.
Like, yeah, some bands have like, they just like...
just come out forward on stage, just like, fuck your merch.
Well, when you say it, yeah.
Fuck you, you know.
I heard that they say something, Alpha Wolf, they said something about they were, like, there's one venue that did like 60%.
Yeah, and they went on stage and they were like...
it's like, dude, like, you're losing money.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Festivals we played on this tour, because being foreigners with state taxes and everything, we've been taxed up to 67%.
So we said no.
Yeah.
So at a festival I should not name, we sold for a certain amount that was a pretty cool amount for a festival, and we netted down to $170.
Oh, my fucking goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, we basically lost money.
Yeah, yeah, like for exposure, being like first tour in the US, like, well, it's cool if some people are wearing a 1056 t-shirt, because we even for us, it's still a cool thing to see.
Of course.
But on a monetary side of things, it's just like, oh, so today we lost $2,000.
Like, cool.
Fuck, man. Yeah, I think it's really important for people to be aware of, I'm not sure you guys are under a contract or anything, but, you know, you got to read your contracts. And those little percentages here and there with the t-shirts and shit, fuck
yeah,
it could fuck you, because first you gotta one you got the merch bill, so there's that, but it's right off the top, so you actually pay for it, actually get it in your fucking hands, and then there's the merch cut,
yeah,
and then if you have a team like a manager, that's 15% at the top. So if you fuck up with that first percentage, if you sign a deal or you're talking to a merch company, you have a certain percentage that's not in your favor. It's like that, like just like the thing. Everything after that is so hard. It's, you're just gonna get constantly fucking punched in the face.
Yeah,
yeah,
constantly.
Mental.
Oh yeah, that's what people need to understand regarding like merch prices. Mm-hmm. We're obviously, bands are the least happy about having to up their merch prices. We're just like, if we want to make a margin, like as little as even $5, we got to stick our t-shirts up to $35, $40. That obviously makes no sense to us either, because if I go to any department store, $40 for a t-shirt is going to be way above what I'd be used to be willing to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you count like production costs, card processing fees, merch cuts, state taxes, whoever's commission, then you're left to just a couple bucks margin on a $40 t-shirt. It's just like ridiculous, because merch,
it's the fans that are getting fucked too, right?
Exactly. Oh yeah,
but
yeah,
we don't want them to pay.
No,
exactly.
And there's this sound guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he's on the circuit, he works for a big band on the circuit, and like I see people like that often say shit like, you know, if you accept tips at the merch table, then you're a broke ass bitch band or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like, what other fucking choice do you know what I mean?
Fuck.
Even to beer, it's like 10,000 to 13,000 visa cost and the flights, and then you got to buy the merch. And I don't think people know how like much bands get shafted.
Oh yeah, you know? Yeah. There's no taboo about it. We shed $80,000 before stepping foot in the US to be able to tour here. And we're not being fancy. We obviously didn't go for the cheapest things. We wanted a comfortable vehicle. We wanted a sound guy, a media guy, and a driver. And that's it. And this, visa, flights, merch, backline, that's $80,000 for us to be here for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So to break even with that.
Easy, yeah.
When you're going to be cut out of like how many percent of every t-shirt you sell for 20 square feet in a shady venue. It's obviously we have things to say about this.
Of course. What keeps us here? Because we could read anything we read online. We will go to any venue and you see the percentage, whatever. You get home after being away from your family or for a month long, and then you get the bill where you're not making. You say, but you do it again.
Yeah, we're still doing it.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's that feeling, dude.
What is that? I don't know. Like, what is that?
We're here among being brothers.
Being on stage is cool.
Exactly.
That's it.
And we're here among brothers.
Asking myself this question for years.
Yeah.
Because we've been doing this shit for years, and I mean, we're going back home. Fucking tired. Social batteries are down. We can't even talk to our own families when we go back home because we're always with people. We're tired as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
After 5 days home, we're like, okay, let's go again. Let's do it.
Yeah. anyone else?
What we did earlier is to do it again.
Yeah.
But there is that little thing that happened on stage. When you're on stage, there is that, what I call the magic part of the stage, which is like literally like between you and the crowd. And there is something happening right here that I can't explain that drives me back again and again and again.
Stop hitting the table. The fucking table, Steve.
You gotta fucking drive the point home sometimes, you know?
But that's it, right? It's like, why do we spend 23 hours a day doing stuff that we don't like just to go dun, 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 dun?
To the exception of today, that it's only 22 hours because we love being here, right?
Oh. Yes.
it's love, but I'm always like, man, it's like transcends love.
Yeah,
it's so crazy.
Yeah, what else could bring us at the other end of the world in California talking to you today among That's brothers crazy. Other than doing this? Like, it's not a fucking tie suit 9 to 5 that's gonna lead us to doing this. We get the best lives.
Yeah,
obviously it's a blessing. There's no other word.
I wouldn't change it for anything.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's a disease. It's a fucking virus, though. Yeah, yes, let's be honest.
It's a disease.
I mean, we're cursed. We're cursed with not willing to do anything else but this. Like sticking our ass in a van, not being able, skipping showers for days on end, fed on water and Chipotle. Hey, like healthy. That's the healthy version.
Yeah.
Well, this is somehow, and for myself at least, this is the only moment where I feel like I'm doing something for the world. I mean,
for the world.
For the outside world, for someone.
Wow.
That's the only moment where I feel useful. It's when I do the shit.
Yeah, same, exactly the same.
So. And let it be known that Steve's is a top-rated cybersecurity officer. He can ruin like the entire world's bank system at a finger touch if he wanted to.
FBI is on my knees now.
Well, there is something worse than that. It's not doing it.
Right.
It's like a weird.
Yes.
Well, it's that feeling when you get home as well, and you're not doing it, and you realize that no one calls you anymore.
It's called depression.
Because you're not fucking there. You know what I mean? No one's hitting you up anymore. Because like, oh, shall we call Chris up? Nah, he's probably on tour.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's just stop calling Chris. You know, does that happen?
Of course, man.
And you get home and you're just like, oh, no one wants to hang around with you.
Yeah.
But they do, but they don't. You know.
People move on. People think you're busy. Your favorite restaurants closed down at home.
Oh no!
Weddings. I think my lady's starting to accept the hard way. Like you physically cannot be at weddings. Physically, like you'll like you're. It's funny because like your brain will like tell you, make it happen. But then you see dates.
Yeah.
It's just like literally can't.
I've never been to a wedding.
Funerals. Wedding. Really?
I've never been to a wedding once. Yeah. Been to a funeral though.
Not one wedding.
Not even my mum's, because I was at a show.
No.
And I hate myself for it. And to this day.
Really?
Yeah. She got remarried.
Fuck.
And you're not there, you know what I mean? It's the worst.
Oh, yeah, I did exactly the same.
You did the same thing? Yeah.
It was your sister.
And I was on stage, and I was just like, what the fuck am I doing? You know? I should be there. Felt awful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's that thing that tells you,
It's a part of it.
Go to the fucking show, man. It's going to be cool. It's going to be beers there or whatever.
I actually missed the last day of my second bad, which like one of the person that was the most important for me in my professional career. Got cancer. Couldn't go to see him because we were doing this rehearsal. He died the next day and I couldn't see him.
Yeah.
Because of that shit. But It is what it is.
All because of the fucking bum 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 bum.
Yeah,
bum,
that's why we. That's why we're angry as well, I guess. Mm-hmm. End of the day, it's taking a lot of on our lives. Yeah, fucking angry, hitting on instruments.
Yeah, we can all agree that no one that's not people that are not part of this grind can hardly understand, and like there's no blame on them. They cannot understand what's going on in our minds and lives, as in why we choose to do what we do and what it implies. Like people fall in love with the idea of it, but when it's just like materializes, there's just a whole other level of events and truths that are happening around it that people cannot really get a grip around. And once again, not the blame to put, but just like building relationships and families and keeping it up with your friends and family and people understanding around you is never a given. It's hardly ever happening because they cannot understand what's happening. You can feel that. You know that. You've been here like longer than us. You definitely know this better than anyone, how hard it is to try and convey what you're experiencing, doing, being about this life to people that are not into it.
Did you just promote the tour that we're on?
That's what I was thinking about.
Tonight at the Observatory Santa Ana, show up people.
Okay, sponsored by Coors Light.
Fuck yeah. No, you got your lifers, you know, and mad respect to your band and mad respect to the sacrifices that you continue to make.
Mad respect to you, man.
It's cool. Yeah. And that makes your music makes a lot of sense.
Thanks, not man. Well, You're a living legend, man. I'm proud to be your mate for so long. And
damn, Aaron.
Glad to be here, man.
Thank you.
We're honored. We're honored.
I remember back in the day, I got really sick, and you guys bought me soup.
Really?
Yeah. It was in Worcester at the Palladium, and I got sick. And I think it was Dan Kenny who bought me soup.
Sick.
He gave me a bed on your bus, and I drank soup there.
Oh, my God.
I was like, God.
That's sick.
Thanks, guy.
We'll close it on either a low note or a high note. Vazepam.
High noise.
What about it?
What does that song mean to you?
I had trouble with pharmaceutical drugs and stuff. Depression, anxiety, and and I think that I was going through like a really strong addiction. I know that was during the end of Betraying the Martyrs cycle. Well, he's not, he's over here like, yeah, you were.
This is what we're talking about.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was, just going through a really, really strong benzodiazepine addiction, and just the way it made me feel. And it's just a lot of really, really, really negative thoughts. And that was just what I wanted to talk about. I don't know.
What does that stuff make you feel like?
And diazepam?
Then, yeah. And then what are the thoughts associated with that?
Let's put Xanax and diazepam in the same.
Okay.
Same shit.
Got it. Cool.
Do you know how that makes you feel?
I've taken Xanax, yeah. I used to take it like in 2000, 9, 10. It was like a couple years. When we were flying everywhere. We'll take a lot of Xanax.
Time travel.
As a band. You time travel and you put alcohol on top of that. It's dangerous. It is. I haven't done Xanax in well over 12 years. I'm terrified of it. I'm
really?
Terrified. Yeah.
Why?
It makes you not give a fuck.
That was it. Well, basically, that was it. I was
that's
like,
the point. That's what you want.
Well, that was it. I was just like, yeah, so anxious about everything. I've always been an anxious person, right? But it just got to a point. It was crazy. And I was just eating anything that made me feel like I didn't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. And always drinking. Mm-hmm. And then not giving a fuck about anything and just having, like, suicidal thoughts a lot. And that was kind of shit that I couldn't speak about with my old band. Mm. And what's funny was, like, we were writing the last Betraying the Martyrs record together. I was still in the band, and we were doing pre-production in like some remote place.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like do some Betraying the Martyrs vocals and shit. And then on the sly, I had the diazepam instrumental. And I was just like writing lyrics and then recording that in the studio with BTM. I was like, this is what I want to be saying right now, you know. And that's, just that feeling of like that whole situation was just, just not feeling very good, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And so unfortunately, it makes it great music.
That's the thing, though, right? Fucking hell.
Hey, I want to kill myself. Here's a sick ass song, right?
That's literally how it works.
It's where you make your demons make other people feel good. It's crazy.
It's a trip.
Kind
of what Anna was saying earlier, right? It's like some people don't want to hear, you know, bands being like, oh, everything's gonna be sick, you know, everything's gonna be fine because of this. People don't want to hear that shit. People want to hear, I almost killed myself because I feel like fucking shit. And they're like, oh yeah, me too. That's a good song. That's how it works. That's how it fucking works.
It's always fucked up.
Yeah, but also it's because like for once it feels genuine, because how many people tried and market on the idea of depression? Like this has been all over the place for the past 6 to 7 years, like Tumblr.
Right.
Kind of era, Tumblr core, where people were capitalizing on feeling like shit, depression sucks and everything. But how many of them have like reached the depth of it? Like where there's almost no way out. And for people to actually hear someone that's been there and can relate to that and that's been telling things as they are, probably felt like a relief to some people. And it's been like an added unexpected perk that we are, I guess, most thankful for, knowing that people like have been able to see that as some sort of relief to finally hear someone telling things as they are down there. I guess it's cool.
Hmm. Well, it's awesome that you've taken that and made it into a sound. And you have a group of five guys that could, you know, listen. It's cool. It's hard enough to be in a family. It's hard enough to be in a band. It's hard enough to be married. But then it's even harder to find that scene for people I actually listen to when you talk to them. It's cool.
Yeah, man.
Badass. Well, and here's the high note. You guys are on tour right now. Is this your first U.S. tour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yep.
And Tillis is celebrating 10 years of their record.
Isn't that mental? We were on tour with them 10 years ago.
It's so weird.
Together, me, you. Right? All-Stars tour?
That was All-Stars, yeah.
2012, and Attila were on that.
Yeah.
Here we are, still. Old as fuck.
Boom, it's still.
Just boom. Fucking old as fuck, shit. Fuck, God damn it.
It is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, so the tour's going great. Come to a show. When's this coming out?
Let's see. Not this Monday, but the next Monday. So might
come to the last show of the tour, then. I don't know.
So where are we at?
We'll be
come to Orlando.
come to the show before the last show.
Come to Orlando and Georgia. That's sick. Yeah. Both dude, I mean, great markets.
Yeah,
sick. Well, Aaron, it was an honor to reconnect with you. You know, I'm fucking proud of you, man.
Thank you.
You guys are fucking sick, man, and you guys come a long way already.
Thank you, man.
It's badass.
Love you, Chris.
It's nice to see you, you know, alive and well.
Cheers, man.
Love you guys, man. All right. Thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Everyone, that's it. Later.
Crew, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.